Tea and Jeopardy with Emma Newman. There's always time for a nice cup of tea and a spot of mild peril. Well, hello there, my lovelies. I do hope you're well and not inconvenienced by a local zombie apocalypse. My name is Emma Newman, and I'd like to welcome you into my secret tea lair for polite conversation, abject geekery, a cheeky bit of cake, and of course, a nice cup of tea. I'm sorry about the climb, but I couldn't resist recording the first ever Tea and Jeopardy in this rather natty volcanic lair. At least it's warm, and I find the background roar of the lava bubbling below rather comforting. I hope you do too. You may have noticed the rather dramatic volcanic glass feature wall. I think it sets the place off rather well. Do take a seat, either on the sofa or on one of the many armchairs. I wouldn't sit too close to that fissure over there. It does tend to make one feel slightly squiffy.
I'm sorry to disturb you, ma'am, but your guest has arrived, a Mr. Charles Wendig.
Chuck Wendig, Latimer.
Mr. Charles Wendig, ma'am.
Let's see his calling card. See? Chuck Wendig, Lord Penmonkey. What an unusual motif beside it. I think that's a sugar skull in the shape of a monkey, with pens as eyebrows. I do believe there is a theme here. Splendid. Show him in, Latimer. For those who don't know, Chuck Wendig is a novelist, screenwriter, and developed the White Wolf game Hunter the Vigil. I've spent many an hour playing that, I can tell you.
Mr. Wendig, ma'am.
Hello, Chuck. Do come and sit down. It's been quite some time since we last saw each other. How are you?
Well, I'm well. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. Would you care for some tea?
Yeah, though you'll just excuse my distraction. Have you noticed where you are?
Well,
have you noticed where I am?
Did you object to the blindfold?
Well, no, that's fine. I accept that, but it's a little warm in here.
Well, I like that. I think being cold is rather uncivil.
It is, but it's just that I feel like I might burst into flame. That's a little warm.
Oh, no, that's fine. If you sit there, there's a little bit of a breeze.
I'll be safe.
Yes, you'll be fine.
Okay, hi!
Hello!
Hi.
So, how do you take your tea?
I don't know. You know, I like coffee.
Oh.
So, tea, this is new, so I trust your judgment, given that I'm in your home. Is this your home? Do you sleep here?
Well, this is my lair.
Your lair. But do you sleep in a lair, or do you just control the world from your lair?
It's a rather personal question.
Sorry, I just feel like well, I'm here. All right, I trust your judgment on the tea.
Okay, well, I'll pour and give you some milk. Would you like a slice of Battenberg?
Yes.
Excellent. Latimer made it this morning. It's fresh.
Oh, is Latimer the gentleman?
Yes, that was the butler. So, yes, the volcanic lair, it was top secret before you revealed it on your blog.
Oh, yes, yeah, I was just kidding. This is awkward.
So it was just an amazing coincidence.
But I imagined you in a volcanic lair, so that works. That
yes.
Works very well.
Yes, you're obviously very insightful.
I apparently am possibly a little psychic. I've been told that.
So when I invited you, in inverted commas, I asked you to bring a curio with you. What have you decided to bring?
Well, it's actually rather appropriate, because I brought the devil.
The devil?
I do, yeah, the devil. I have a Christmas ornament, and he's the devil. He's a little wooden hand-carved devil. He's very dapper in his tuxedo, a little gold ring emerging from his head and between his horns, where you would hang him from the tree. He's got his little pitchfork, his little trident, held a little like a dancing cane. And he's a very dapper, but obviously volcanic gentleman, so here he is in the proper setting.
Yes, absolutely. So this is a Christmas decoration.
A Christmas decoration, yes. And since we're coming up on July, we'll have a nice Christmas in July with the devil. And he watches over me as I do my daily thing.
Ah, okay, so do you keep him out all year round?
I do. He's literally on top of an external hard drive, a dusty, old, ragged external hard drive.
Excellent. Does he have a name, or is he just Mr. Devil?
He is merely the Devil. I have a toddler, and he refers to him as Devil. So perhaps
gorgeous.
That is his name, and perhaps the toddler knows things. I do not.
So, on your calling card, you had a motif.
And, I do.
You said pen monkey as well.
The pen monkey, yes. Pen monkey, the totem spirit, the spirit animal.
Ah, you see, I wanted to ask where that image came from, because it's quite an interesting one, and it's on some of your book covers as well.
It is on some of my book covers, drawn by the artist Amy Hauser. Yes, the pen monkey. Sort of a nice way of saying writer, but without sounding pretentious about it. Or author, which is doubly pretentious. Pen monkey. A little, just an ooking chimp with ink-stained fingers.
He's very cute.
Thank you.
The other thing I wanted to ask you about was that I recently listened to your interview on SF Signal, which I enjoyed immensely. And you talked about going to a convention. If memory serves, it might have been in Georgia, and you met somebody who was a proper fan.
Oh, my, what I consider my first, like, real fan. Fan. Not reader, not audience, but fan. Yeah, that was fascinating.
I remember you saying about how you kind of wanted to urge her to just kind of calm down and relax.
Right, because why are you talking? You're talking to me. Like, it's not, I know me, and I'm not that exciting. So I'm confused why people would be excited to meet me.
Is there anyone you would completely dissolve into a puddle of goo if you met?
These days I could probably hold it together, but I would be, like, inside not holding it together. Like, externally I wouldn't be trembling and weeping. But in person, like, there's a few writing idols I have. Robert McCammon, Joe Lansdale. Robin Hobb, I'd love to meet her. Just, like, internally, I would be somewhat volcanic, to go with the motif here, of sort of bubbling magma of anxiety. I think I would try to keep it together, and I wouldn't sweat on them or cry or anything like that, but it would be very difficult.
Yeah, it's a strange thing.
How about you? I mean, I should know, I should ask you.
Oh, my goodness. Who don't I squee and go fangirly over? It's terrible. Well, I mean, it's in the public domain now. I was in a panel game at a very large event a few months ago, and my terrible, terrible crush on China Mieville came out there. So, yes, I have met him once, and I had my picture. Well, I don't know if I frightened him. I should imagine he's quite brave. I can't imagine many things frightening China Mayfield, actually. But I had my picture taken with him, and a friend was there, and she emailed me the next day and was like, let me see your picture. And I was like, no, this is never coming out, ever. This is never leaving my computer.
it's just there to look at.
I looked awful. I was so red and...
Oh, you should totally...
No. It was kind of this awful rictus Joker-like grin on my face. Oh, no.
Okay, so I'll tell you, will you at least show it to the world when you become the type of person that, which is fast happening, I have no doubt, where people are completely, moist and trembling to meet you?
No. No, I doubt that. So there's him. Who else? Oh, lots of people. I can't think of any right now because you've asked me, but that's the main one. That's the main one.
He was a gamer, China. He played White Wolf games.
Did he?
Yes, he did. He was a big fan of Wraith, actually, for a number of years.
Did he? Oh, you see, this is not helping the crush.
it's only turning the volume.
Yes, it's making it even worse.
Yeah.
I'm not one of those kind of really obsessive kind of people who learns every single detail about him. I just run away if he walks into the room.
That's fair. That's entirely fair.
Which is really embarrassing, because at some point we're probably going to be at the same event together, and when I last met him I was just this kind of little wannabe newbie, and obviously now I have books out there, so...
Now you're queen of the world. You've taken over. You've got a volcanic lair.
I'm queen of this volcanic lair, but not the world. So when I was gearing up to invite you to tea, I went onto the Twitters. And I asked people what they would like to ask you, and any of them said, what have you put in my tea? What have you done to deserve such a reputation?
I don't know, but apparently I've possibly murdered some people with tea. I feel like I have a reputation now of killing people with tea, which doesn't sound like me. I'm a very nice person who only murders people. Actually, tea would be a very nice way to murder somebody, wouldn't it?
Yes, it would, if it was the right kind of tea.
Well, right. I mean, if they enjoyed it, and it was a nice warm cup, then it would be...
Yeah.
I'm gonna write that down. So I don't know what I put. What would I put in people's tea? That's a good question. Like, would it be like what's a good poison that tastes nice? Cyanide has a nice almondy.
Yeah, I was gonna say cyanide, but I don't know if I would want almondy tea.
Well, that's true. Although I do have a Middle Eastern almond tea.
Oh.
I've had. That was very good.
It isn't under the category of those kind of herbal teas where they smell wonderful and then taste like awful.
No, it actually tasted very good, and it was not herbal. It was also caffeinated with real black. It was black tea, but almond accented.
That sounds good.
Yeah.
So I have one last question for you.
Okay, I will answer.
Your beard, Chuck.
My beard.
Is it for fighting or for love play?
Oh, it's for love play. The beard, while the beard could be used for fighting, I could weave into it rather sharp thorns and jagged bones in which I would press my face against my enemy's own. No, I believe it is for love. The beard is gentle.
I'm very pleased. So tell me about the blue blazes, because I've been seeing that all over.
The blue blazes? I wrote a book, by golly. I wrote a book, and the origins of the book are a little curious, in that when I was a child, I would play the stupid game of pressing my thumbs into my eyes until I saw things. It was like an early version of a hallucinogen, I guess, like LSD for 8-year-olds. So they tell kids, you know, don't look at the sun, and don't do this, don't do that. And I did that, and they told me not to, and I did it anyway. And one time I saw a lion in our yard, which is impossible. I live in Pennsylvania, where there are, as far as I know, zero lions. And yet, I still remember it plain as day, seeing a lion, like, reclining, as if fat on a, you know, having fed. I mean, it wasn't the type of lion that was coming at me. It wasn't a scary lion. It was alarming, perhaps, but not particularly scary. So that sort of little story, that little stupid 8-year-old LSD trip, sort of stayed with me in a sense that I was like, well, there's this sense of peeling away layers of reality and sort of seeing something a little more monstrous underneath. And of course, as I got older and darker and weirder, I thought that more in a, you know, horror type or urban fantasy context. And so I had this idea of sort of mashing up the criminal underworld, that sort of thug noir Sin City sort of vibe, and sort of mashing it together with the mythic monstrous underworld, the, you know, the Nurgle, the Ereshkigal sort of motif, though I decided to come up with my own mythology that wasn't sort of based in human things. And I sort of, from there, there's a character sort of at the center of that crux, Mookie Pearl, a thug with a very bad daughter who's sort of trying to undo all of his efforts. And it's all about that. And it's about the apocalypse and about New York and about death, and really a lot of stories are about death, I think.
Yeah.
So that's the book. It comes out soon, May 28th, with our friends, the Cranky Cyborgs, the Angry Robot People.
I don't think any other name comes out on the same day.
Yeah, it does.
We can be book release buddies.
We will be. We will book release. We will link elbows and arms and go traipsing into the bookstores.
As long as it's not skipping.
No, skipping. We won't be traips.
And it's got another Joey hi-fi cover, which is just gorgeous.
It does. I keep winning the cover lottery.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah, and your covers are beautiful too, by the way.
Yeah, really, really beautiful.
Yeah. They know how to do how to get the good covers in Angry Robot.
They really do. Well, the Battenberg has almost gone. The teapot is empty. And it's been a delight to have you here today, Chuck.
Thank you for having me.
Maybe we will see each other again soon.
That'd be good.
Maybe. Latimer will show you the way out.
Thank you, Latimer. Okay, bye. She's laughing. Latimer, do you know why she's laughing?
Not that door, sir. This is an easier way out.
Well, what a refreshing visitor, wouldn't you say, Latimer?
Yes, ma'am.
Let's see if he manages to make it across that extraordinarily narrow rock bridge spanning the pit of bubbling lava, shall we? We can watch from the window. Oh dear, the bridge is crumbling. I never would have expected that.
I doubt the bridge will last long enough for him to get across.
Yes, it's going. He's very calm. He has to do something, surely. Is he? It looks like he's walking on thin air. This isn't an Indiana Jones joke, is it, Latimer? I thought I told you to never do that again.
I assure you it is not, ma'am. The bridge has collapsed. I believe he is employing the power of sheer bloody-minded disbelief.
Well, I never expected that. He's going to reach the other side. Is he whistling? Not even the fumes seem to be bothering him.
I should imagine that's the beard, ma'am. It filters the air as it rises up from the lava. I saw the same in Burma shortly after the war. A true triumph of facial hair over peril.
It looks like Chuck will live to write another day. Well, dear guests, thank you for joining the remarkable Mr. Wendig and I today. The next time we take tea together, we'll be joined by the delightful Sarah Pinborough. Before Latimer shows you out, via the safe route, of course, I have a question for you. I recently had the pleasure of taking tea on a terrace beside the Thames with an old friend of mine. As I started on the second slice of cake, I noticed what appeared to be a severed leg floating down the river. I can only hope it came from a mannequin that had suffered an unfortunate incident. I had no idea whether to remark upon it, concerned that if I did so, my friend and proud resident of London town would be terribly embarrassed. I wanted to ask you what you would do in that situation. All suggestions welcome, particularly the outlandish and comedic. Do be dears, and leave your answers at www.tnjeopardy.com. I'll pick the best one and share it with you the next time we take tea. Well, until next time, my little tulip buds. Now, Latimer, after you've shown them out, we need to talk about these fumes. They just won't do. Find a new location for the secret tea lair, would you? Perhaps somewhere with fresh air and cheerier decor.
Very good, Mum.
You've just listened to an episode of Tea and Jeopardy, hosted by Emma Newman on the Geek Planet Online Network. Go to www.tnjeopardy.com to find out more and join in.